Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I'm Juma Mubarak and Steve Mubarak. We're going to be having Juma, the services from Imam Yahya Abdullah, the Khatib for today. Imam Yusuf Ramadan is out of town, not able to service us. Enjoy Allah's blessing. Assalamu alaikum. It should start in a moment.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise belongs to Allah, the God and Evolver of all the systems of knowledge. We witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except God alone, the one and only. And we witness that Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Allah's servant, messenger, prophet to all of mankind. May Allah's peace, his blessings, his highest exaltations be upon Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, his companions, the righteous all. On you, O Muslims, be peace. Assalamu alaykum. That is, may the peace that only God Almighty, our Creator, can give you be upon you. And we are in the third day of our celebration after the sacred month of Ramadan, the Eid days, the Eid al-Fitr days. So I say to all of you all here in Jacksonville, Florida, on Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry, those of you all around the country and around the world, Eid Mubarak. That is, Allah continue to bless us with this wonderful occasion that occurs, keeps coming back every year, every year. Eid itself means to return. Fitra, as I explained on Tuesday, returning back to your natural nature. To our Christian brothers and sisters and family members and friends and co-workers, peace be with you. To our Jewish friends, we say to you, Shalom. We'd like to welcome our national community, international viewers, and many of you all, we're growing now internationally, thank God. We also welcome Imam Muhammad Abdullah from Birmingham, Alabama, and his community, the Birmingham Islamic Center. They join us every week, and we appreciate that. Also, Sister Martha Naila from American Muslim 360, Michael. She just texted me earlier and said that they are joining us for the Jummah prayer today on American Muslim 360. Those of you all who don't know what that is, AM 360 is the largest internet online radio program for Muslims in the United States of America. So they're broadcasting live on Jumu'ah. Those of you joining us on StreamYard, Facebook, and YouTube. And we got some very impressive numbers from YouTube for last month. 141 new subscribers, 328,000 minutes watched, about 11,000 views just in a month. So we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Those of you all joining us on our Jumu'ah conference line, welcome as always, Junaid Abdullah in Malaysia, Auntie Sister, greetings to you. Our silent prayer today before we start our khutbah for the Jumu'ah, for our brothers, sisters, 33,000 Palestinians that are constantly being killed, and the numbers are just, the genocide is out of control. And we also, I was asked by one of my friends in Philadelphia to pray for our young people. Fortunately, nobody lost their life in that madness that took place by these young people. And he told me they were Muslims. They were young Muslims, 13 to 15 years old. They're in Philly on the Eid day at the Eid celebration. So, my dear friend, you know who you are. We will include them also in our silent prayer. Allah rest the souls of those who have lost their lives, and we ask God to guide our young people and our youth, ila sirat al-mustaqim, to a path that is straight, and to all of the young people that find themselves unable to handle the extreme pressure of this negative culture. We ask God to guide them. Now, after our prayer today, we will have janaza, salatul janaza ghaib, film prayer, pastor, for my dear friend, instructor Benjamin Bilal, who lost his daughter, Najma Salima Bilal. So we will have prayer for her today. Our subject for Jumu'ah, as I mentioned at the Eid khutbah, obey Allah and obey the messenger. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. This is the first Jumu'ah after Ramadan and during the 8 days, 3 days. Muslims, our Christian friends and family members, and new Muslims also. Most Muslims celebrate the Eid for 3 days. 3 days. There are others, however, take it to seven. Anywhere from 3 to 7 days to celebrate the Eid. So we're in the third day. We're still in the minimum days, and tomorrow we'll be having, Ahmed told me, and we'll announce it later also, our Eid celebration. We have the Eid prayer Tuesday. We'll have our Eid celebration tomorrow, and they have some wonderful activities planned for the community tomorrow at 12 o'clock, inshallah. So we begin this first khutbah on the Eid day after Ramadan, first Jumu'ah after Ramadan. Chapter 5, verse 92 and 93. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Wa atiu Allah وَأَطِيعُوا رَسُولَهُ وَاحْذَرُوا فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah, the mightiest of truth. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. So dear Muslims, God revealed to the Prophet these two obediences that we should have as Muslims. And we just completed 29 days. Those who started on the Monday, barely 30 days. So 29, 30 days fast. And we reminded or were reminded of many of our disciplines for those of us who've been around for a while. Some new Muslims learn for the first time the disciplines of fasting, the disciplines of praying, Taraweeh Salah, the disciplines of no food and water during the day, the disciplines, mental exercise, and discipline to be steady, reading the Quran or listening to the Quran daily. These are disciplines, okay? Well, after the Ramadan fast is concluded, and we also learn and develop the higher sensitivity to the obedience to God and the Prophet. Conscious. What am I supposed to be doing during Ramadan? See, that's obedience to Allah. What did the Prophet tell us to do? How do we do this? Well, I have many questions for many of you all around the country on this, especially for new Muslims. How do I do this? How did the Prophet do this? What does the Quran say about this? So we were keen to be obedient to Allah and obey what Allah says about Ramadan and obey what Muhammad the Prophet said in terms of how we are to conduct it and carry out this practice of Ramadan. So now that Ramadan is over, let us remember, be mindful of those skills that we develop, the disciplines that we develop, the spirit that we develop, and keep that obedience to God and His messenger. Wa'atiullah, wa'atiur Rasul. Again, dear Muslim, and this is from kindness, so I'm not saying this as criticism, just reminders of what Allah revealed to us in the Quran. We have to be careful taking extreme mental position when it's clear to us what God is telling us in the Quran. Yes, we obey Allah, wa'atiullah. But we also are told by Allah to obey the messenger, wa'atiur rasul. So we can't say all we need is the Quran and leave out Prophet Muhammad. That's impossible. We hear from Jumu'ah prayer, Surah of Jumu'ah, the chapter 62, titled Surah Al-Jumu'ah, the day of Friday or the day of gathering for the Friday prayer. In that chapter, does it instruct us, tell us how to conduct the Jumu'ah prayer? It doesn't tell us how to do it. Tells us to do it. When you hear the call for the Friday prayer, gather, come together and pray. And once you finish your prayer, when you've completed your salat, your prayer is finished and it's over, go back into the world seeking fadlullah, the bounties of God and your dunya, the material world. Go back into the material world. Your jobs, your careers, your businesses, whatever pursuits. So as Muslims, we don't say, oh, I gotta have all the Friday off. Now, you all who hire Muslims, workers, your bosses, if the Muslims tell you, I need the whole Friday off for Jumu'ah prayer, that's not a requirement. 1 hour. 1 hour. You're supposed to get back to work. As the brother said, brother, man, I need you to sign the letter so I can get off for Friday. I said, how long are you going to be off? Well, I'm taking the whole day. I said, I can't sign that. You got to get back to work, brother. God says take some time for the prayer and go back to the material world. Get back to work. Get back. So even our most sacred day, Friday, it'll work. Take a pause for prayer and go back out there into that material world. But how do we conduct the Jumu'ah? The Adhan. How do we call it then? We have two Adhan. The first Adhan, the second Adhan, the call to prayer. And then the Imam, he gives the lecture called Khutbah, two parts. Where is that in the Quran? Not there. How to perform it? Not there. Atiullah, obey God. Wa atiur Rasul, and obey the message. Now, if you don't study Prophet Muhammad and study his life, well, you'll be doing what I mentioned Tuesday. And I didn't know the young Muslims were going to be shooting up the Eid in Philadelphia. And you heard tonight, lecture Tuesday morning and later that evening, It's almost as if my body senses, they call it, my intuition, was reticent because I addressed it indirectly. I said, oh, stuff, and God forbid, I hope nothing else comes. God forbid. All right? So the young Muslims and the young man that wanted to burn up the church and kill everybody, Christians, because he doesn't know, first of all, that's condemned in the Quran. But Muhammad the Prophet never did anything like that. And he actually condemned it many times. But if you don't study the life of the Prophet, there is no way for you to understand that. And, yes, let me correct. Eve was Wednesday. I'm sorry. I said Tuesday. That was Wednesday. It was Tuesday night that we cited the Hilal. All right? But we had our prayer Wednesday morning. Okay? So I want to correct that. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. And be aware of evil. Be conscious. We were conscious of that during Ramadan. Try to maintain that same mental awareness. If you turn back into a laytum, know ye that it is our messenger's duty. This is carefully, dear Muslims. تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْأَبُ الْمُبِينِ. However, if you turn back to the bad habits, bad life that you had before the disciplines of Ramadan, God forbid, know that it is the messenger's job, duty, only to proclaim the message, make it reach you plain and clear. That's his obligation. The messenger has on him no other obligation. Listen carefully. For our community, we're talking about Muhammad the Prophet, first of all, but on the lower tier levels underneath that, the teachers and the leaders, the imams and others in our community, the principal obligation, main obligation, as Allah says here in chapter 5, verse 92, is to make the message of the Quran and the life teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reach the people as plain as they possibly can, with their abilities and capacities. That's it. That's the obligation. All these other things, that's ancillary, they call it, or external, it's not really required to do A, B, C, D. No. The main obligation of the teacher, the main obligation of the imam, the main obligation of the prophet. Make the message reach the people plain and clear. That's his obligation. That's the obligation I have on me. Now, what you do with that message is on you. Yes, we're not. I know I'm speaking to the Muslim world now. And I know the landmine area. And I try not to step on those landmines because I'm aware of the historical misinformation. So all the Muslims are waiting on Jesus to come back. Not just stepped on an IED, improvised explosive device. But you can't show me that in the Quran. And it's only one hadith that's metaphorical, symbolic, and I might go get into it, but I've been challenging Muslims forever. Show me one verse in the Quran to support this theory. Can't do it. And we know as Muslims, if we can't find any support at all for hadith, either in word, principle, or spirit, we don't. The prophet told us don't accept it. If they say I said something, the prophet said, if they say I said it, check it with the book of God. If it contradicts the book of God, I didn't say it. Otherwise, he's going to be a walking contradiction. He was the Quran. The Quran was in him. He was the Quran walking. Yeah, we have to try to internalize it to the best of our abilities and behavior, but the prophet was the Quran. It was revealed to him. So he was walking with it. He had it in his heart and in his mind and living his life daily. He was the Quran. Any Muslims forget that Muhammad is not inseparable from the Quran. The Quran was revealed to him. So how can you separate him from the Quran and say, all we need is the Quran? Who is the Quran? Who was the Quran? Muhammad. So now how did he say implement the Jum'a? We have to study his life to know how it is. Watiullah, Watiul Rasul. And God said, what Allah has ordered you to do, do it. And what the Prophet has ordered you to do, do it. Why? Because he's not going to order you to do anything that's in contradiction to what God gave. Impossible. Not going to happen. So we look at it, we're told, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. This is the problem we have in America right now. I said this last week. It deserves repeat. The environment we live in America has conditioned the psyche and the psychology of its citizens to expect someone, Savior, to save them. So any con man can show up. As they do from time to time. I am he that has returned. And they touch him on the head, on head and everything. They touch him. This is no joke. You think all of this is accidental stuff that's taking place in America? No, it's following a certain scheme. Because they have conditioned the people to look for and expect the Savior. Now us, as Muslims, be bad as I'm not a Savior. God told me to save myself. You have to save yourself. We don't have any confessional windows, no disrespect to my brothers in the priesthood, in the Catholicism, not at all. But you can't come confess to the imam your sin. As soon as you start, I'm going to block you like the prophet did. He turned his head, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. You better take that to God and fetch that. Put that sin on the floor. Go do some fibia. Follow up the F-I-D-Y-A. That's in the chapter to compensate sin, and if you couldn't fast, feed a poor person, follow up a bad deed with a good deed. That's how you erase it. Get rid of it like that. But I don't have a curtain back there. I'm not sitting back there behind that glass and waiting for you to show up. Damn, I have a confession. I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. I'm sitting here collecting the cat back here, but my man's not there. Some of y'all late on your Eve tax, so I'm back here. I thought that lady. You want to confess, you better go out there and make two rakahs. Bow to your Lord and ask him to forgive you, because I can't. I can forgive you something you did to me, and I'm quick to say, yeah, I'm done with that. That's my bad. I don't care for it. I don't. Learned a long time ago, it don't hurt nobody but me. Think about it. You mad. But you mad at me. How is that affecting me? You upset. Your blood pressure up, God. You stressed out. I'm done. You call me just now. Let it go, as the Christians say. Let go and let God. I like that thing. The messenger's job and duty is to make the message plain and clear. And Allah tells them in another part of the Quran, say, O Muhammad, tell them, Kullastu alaykum biwaki. Wa ma ana alaykum biwaki. I am not set over you to manage your life, to manage your affairs. God gave you a brain and you have your own intelligence. Use the brain and intelligence that God gave you And if you say you're a Muslim, you have the guidance of the Quran, and you have the life of the Muhammad prophet. And we have some extra, we have extra how to apply this in America from Imam West to Dean Muhammad. Those of us in the community except to follow that. I know all people don't, but we were blessed to have that extra insight how to implement it in a land like the United States of America. This is a different animal we have here, Don. Oh, yeah. And you're walking on your head, you wouldn't know how that happened. Yeah, upside down. It could be upside down. You'll think it's normal in America. And if somebody says, you're supposed to be walking on your feet, you head shaving. Now, come up with something. You anti-this. No, I'm not anti-nothing, but I know if you keep walking on your head like that, you're going to hurt yourself. God made feet for us to walk on. But this society flips everything upside. And Allah tells in the Quran, Satan makes wrong seem like it's right. So you listen to people and you say, then we making it sense. The bathroom to go in. You learned that when you were a toddler. You forgot those lessons. Verse 93. ليس على الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح فيما تعلموا إذا ما اتقوا وآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ثم اتقوا 2 وآمنوا ثم اتقوا 3 وأحسنوا والله يحب المحسنين صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah, mighty spoke the truth as revelation to Muhammad above. On those who believe and do good works, deeds of righteousness and goodness, there is no blame. God doesn't hold it against them for what they ate in the past. And that applies to physical food, and it applies to ideas. Because you can eat food that's haram, prohibited, and you can eat ideas and ideologies and philosophies that are haram, prohibited. Ideas that advocate associating other gods with the real God. That's haram. So God says, however, if you do good and you have faith, you really believe and you do good works, I'm not going to hold it against you that you call Farah Muhammad God. That's me talking about us. I forgive you for that, what you ate in the past. Now don't go back there and pick it up again. I'm not going to hold it against you. You have faith. Some of us in America, if you have Muslims around the world, some of us. God is saying, I'm making this applicable to our life circumstances here now. I'm not going to hold it against you all for saying that the black man is God. You ate that information in the past. All you have to do is have faith in the Quran and God, Muhammad's way, I'll forgive you. Not going to hold that against you. Now, isn't that a mercy from Allah? That he blessed a whole community in the United States of America that was called a nation of Islam. I'm talking about the old nation of Islam. That was so far off track that we did not celebrate Ramadan with all the Muslims, just speaking one, because that's the closest pillar principle we just completed. That we did not celebrate that 1 out of 5, we didn't pray 5 times a day, either many of the Muslims, the majority of us did. There were a few Muslims in the nation that did that, that had that information. So we didn't pray 5 times a day. We didn't fast the month of Ramadan. And we used to think that the pilgrimage was to Chicago. instead of Mecca in Arabia. No, seriously. How did we arrive at that? Knowledge, information that was fed to us. I took a bite of it, I ate it. Tasted pretty good at the time. But what never digested in me, honestly, I never could digest the ideas that a man, black man, would do. I couldn't digest that. I'll put that over there to the side over there. I like the economic part of the nation. I like the discipline. I was a young man. I like the cleanliness. I like all that, the productivity. But man is God. And the black man is God. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that my cousin's in Coat J? This Kareem up on State Street, and God, not these fellows that I grew up with, Mike, our neighborhood, Kareem, God, I'm on 4th Street here in the middle of these guys, you know my family, God, that I couldn't buy. I just paid for that. Wrong food. But God said, if you have faith, work good. I won't hold it against you. Yeah, yeah, for what you ate in the past. I won't hold it against the Muslim community in America for what you ate in the past. I forgive you for it in a lawful cave. Now, W.D. Muhammad came and put us on the right track. God bless him. The highest station in paradise. There's no blame on you for what you ate in the past. When you guard yourself now from these evil ideas, that's the call, one, for avenue, and you have faith. And you work deeds of righteousness repeated. And you do good work. And again, don't let the call guard yourself from these wicked ideas, and you have faith repeated again. And you guard yourself against these ideologies and philosophies that will corrupt your mind and corrupt your life. Guard yourself from evil and do good. For Allah, Allah, God the Creator, He loves those. Did you hear that? So you all out there, as I conclude the first part of this, Allah, the Creator God, did not create evil. Stop saying that. God did not create evil. So I thought He created everything except evil. And Allah says in the Quran, all mankind, whatever good you get in this life and in this world is from God. Whatever harm and evil you get in this world is from your own hands and your own create these problems yourself. You took the power of the atoms, electrons and neutrons and protons and this serious power that Allah put in creation for good. The power of your factories, nuclear energy, the power of your home, solar. You took this power oftentimes. And you made a bomb. And you dropped it on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You did that. And Allah says in Surah Talah, chapter 113, seek refuge, we say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْفَلَقِ. Seek refuge with God from the evil and the harm that's in creation. Because if you approach it wrong, creation, it will harm you, but that's not why God created it. You just approached it wrong. Okay, you see a column of bees in the ceiling of at your house. Why? Not in the old days. Oh, yeah. Bees. Okay. They're all right. They're not bothering you. You decided to go poke them. Now you're running for your life. They after you now. But they don't mind. They're old business. Until you poke them. And when you do that, it comes to bees out. And we have brothers from Africa. I was in Africa. Now this is unfortunate. True story, what I'm telling you about how creation can harm you if you approach it wrong. People have a guy going out into the safari. Now, I've been many places in Africa, but I wouldn't take a safari. I asked him what it was. Come on. I said, what's a safari? Well, we're going to get in the van and we'll go out into the wilderness and see the lions and the animals and the elephants. Doing what? I'm not going. I'm from America. I'm not doing it. I'll go see him at the zoo if I want to see him. I'm not going out there. Unfortunately. See, approach, wrong approach. Elephant, that's his habitat. Lion, that's his habitat. He see you and me. Boom. I'm just serious. Lady on the safari, in the van, this just happened. Here come an elephant. And he said, normally, the elephants don't attack. But sometimes they do. So you're taking a slip of the coin on each other. You're risking your life. And unfortunately, the elephant ran. Hit the van, flipped it over, killed one of the people that was in there. Now, is that God's fault? The animal was in its natural habitat. The human being went and invaded their habitat. And unfortunately, or lost it. And whatever good comes to you, it's from God. He wants nothing but good. But whatever harm, it's from your hands or somebody like you. It may not be your direct hand, but it came from some human hand. All the problems we have in the United States, most of the problems we have in the world, all these wars and all these killings and all this genocide in Palestine and Gaza and the war between the Muslims in Darfur and Sudan, men are doing this. And yes, I said men, capital, M-E-N. Women are not doing this. They're not. Egotistical, maniacal, big-headed, maniac men. Iblis. Now, what's those spooky creatures called Iblis? Look at what men are doing on this earth to harm people all over this earth. And you have identified Iblis. The one who's arrogant and big-headed and think he runs the world and he owns the creation. And that's what we see. And the poor women are the victims. The children are victims of this insanity that's coming from crazy men. So dear Muslims, Allah says to us, must have gone. No, you guard against that. Preserve and protect yourself against that. Don't get caught up in all of this gang war. Because I'm out of use now. Don't get caught up in all these gang wars. Don't get caught up in all this violence in these cities. Avoid it as much as you possibly can. And ask God to keep us all safe and protect us and our families. Don't get caught up in all of this, man. And try. As Muhammad the Prophet, he said this. The strong person is not the one who can wrestle someone down to the ground. No. He said the strong person is the one who can restrain themselves when they get angry. Hold that anger. Check it. Check your attitude. Check that spirit to just lash out and harm someone. what happened in Philadelphia. 13, 15-year-old young Muslims shooting up the Eid. The Eid celebration. I've been there more than once. I know the part very well. Saw it on TV. I said, oh, Lord, I pray a lot. Nobody was killed. Nobody was killed. Few people injured. But we young Muslims running loose. And I verified this now. So anybody texted me telling all they weren't Muslims. Yes, they were. The brother who was up there told me they were Muslims. I'm trying to cover for them. They're supposed to have a meeting to discuss it. And he gave me the history. He knows. First, I'm talking about, I won't tell you who he is. But he knows. And he called me and he said, yes. I asked him straight up, were they Muslims? He said, yes. Trying to identify who their parents are. But they were very young. Children, 13, 14, 15 years. That's the environment, unfortunately. And so he asked me to pray for them as I did today. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Again, with God's name, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful Redeemer, may his peace and his blessings be upon his noble and generous messenger, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what follows after that excellent salute traditions to our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon them. Again, dear brothers and sisters that are here, American Muslim 360, Jumu'ah Conference Live, StreamYard, Facebook, YouTube, Assalamu Alaikum, and Eid Mubarak. And we should be celebrating that. Still in the celebratory, I always take my 7 days. I take 7. I do 10. Fasting for long. Should I relax? So, no, I'm not having a Ramadan session on Tylene Sunday. No, but I'm chilling. I might go up to the VI. I don't know. Savannah, something. Back. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. Have fun. Don't hurt yourself. Imam W.D. Muhammad speaking, comment on what I just said in the first part. Out of this wonderful book, Ahmed, I'm sure you have some coming. Commentary of selected verses of the Holy Quran documented from the teachings of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. So this is really a commentary, Tafsir, which is called Tafsir, explanation, commentary by Imam Muhammad. Raheem has it on the screen, our technician on cue. So you can go online to order the book, some of you all have. Nasrullah.org. That's Imam Mikhail here in Indianapolis, Indiana. You can order them by the cases. Now, why am I promoting the book? The more of us that have this information, I'm talking about in our association now, in America, our community, the more of us that have this information, 570 pages of it, and this is just one volume, the other volumes to come of the language, insight, commentary. I mean, Imam Muhammad over 33 years. This is volume one. The more of us have this information and knowledge, the stronger the community becomes in knowledge, insight, understanding of the Quran, the life of the Prophet, how to apply it in his home, the family, the community. The more of us have this kind of knowledge, the more the community grows. So I'm promoting it, and we thank the brothers who came together to put the book together. I was on the editing team of it. Imam Kaufman has passed on, may God forgive him, and granted paradise. But Dr. Nasser headed up the project some years ago, and this is the cleaner version of many of the mistakes that was in the first volume, taken out. Maybe a few little minor, you know, we're human beings, so we don't make errors and mistakes. That's just what we don't do. So, but it's not as many. I've been reading through it, and all of the states that was in the first one are out. So you're going to really enjoy reading this. So Imam Nikal here, my friend, Imam Abdul Wahid over in Durham, North Carolina. And Wahid, I'm sorry, my friend, I don't have your number. You did give it to me, so that's on me because I'm using my phone for the Jumaat conference lines, and I forgot to just make me a note. But those of you all in the Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina area, you know Imam Abdul Wahid. So he has some. Imam Basil Abdullah at Masjid Ta'lim in Houston, and Imam Stahni at Uqdah in Beaumont, Texas. Farouk, Eugene Farouk, have them at the Masjid W.D. Muhammad in Houston with Imam Wazi Ali. So I'm naming some of the people that I'm aware of that are distributors of the book and stuff. And we will have them here. So you all aware, Ahmed is already on it. Inshallah, we will have the books here that you can get it and share it with your family members, your wives, your husband, children, and study it. Study this information because it will give you better understanding of the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet in the United States of America and how to apply it to our unique situation here in America. So let me read something right quick from the book, page 532, in conjunction with what I said in the first part of the Qutbah. Don't get caught up with all this madness. Quote, Imam Muhammad, this is so simple. And if you would just turn off, he said, the foolishness of this world and apply your senses and listen to Allah, listen to the Quran, and follow Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, you will gain your life again, and you will get your good senses back. Did you hear that? Turn off the foolishness. Young folks, you can't listen to, and I'm not going to name any of them, but if you listen to these mad rappers, psychotic rappers, well, I heard some of the stuff they done. They let themselves on the radio, man. When I was growing up, you couldn't just say anything, and they played it over the air. Well, I tell you what, you go in a crowded theater someplace, and you shout, "Fire hot," you're going to get arrested. You flying on an airplane with your freedom of speech, and you jump up, "I got a ball." Planes on land and feds taking you off to jail. Now, you may not even have anything, but you exercise your quote-unquote freedom of speech. There are limits on that. You have this absolute freedom of speech in the United States of America, and don't test these people trying that. Now, ask Cubs. He's an attorney, constitutional lawyer. Those are ideals. That's not reality. And you know it's not reality. And that's why I tell all young people, you get stopped by the cop, God forbid, have your insurance, license, before they even get to the car, hands on the wheel, and do not talk crazy. Don't talk crazy to them. But you don't know, and I had the chief, Prince George's, my friend, small business stuff here, Malik, Chief. Malik Aziz, when he was in Dallas, I was in Dallas a long time ago. He's chief police, Prince George's County, Maryland, my friend, one of my students, I've known for years. And he would tell me, he said, "Imam, share with the brothers and the community the message. We're sharing this with you all." He said, "Share with them, if you ever get stopped, God forbid, by the police, have your license, insurance, registration, whatever it is you need, have it already ready." He said, "Tell them, put their hands on the steering wheel, and if it's at nighttime, turn the car lights on inside. Officer comes to the window, 'Yes, sir.'" He's very cautious. And he said, "I'm telling you what, I'm a police officer. You have no idea what that officer may have gone through that day. Girlfriend could have left. Wife could have left. He just told he's going to get terminated next month. You don't know what's going on." He said that some of them have mental problems. He told me that. Some that. He said, so you don't know the mind, the state of mind that this person is in? Be cordial and respectful. Well, I ain't doing that. I got the right to freedom of speech. The job of the messenger is to make the message. I don't. It ain't worth all that. And he said, even if you're in the right, take it to court. The traffic stop. Go to court. Your Honor, look at the dash cam. Yeah, I went in the wrong. Case dismissed. All my business. You still got your life. You didn't get your head beat in because you're trying to exercise your right to speak. I know what the laws are. I know. Yeah, but you're on the streets. You're in the courthouse. And you don't have your lawyer out there with you. And it's just you and him and God. And you pray, oh, Lord, please let me get away. Get out of this. Because this is serious now in this country. That's what he meant. Mama said, turn that foolishness off. You can't listen to these crazy people all day long and expect to have good senses. So I want to conclude with that. One last quote here from our leader, Imam Wazir Muhammad. On our obligation, we may, and then we will have Janazah for our sister, my dear friend, Instructor Benjamin Bilal's daughter. Quote, Imam Muhammad, as we conclude. Let me tell you, now we're talking about community life now. The obligation on us, Muslims, African Americans in America, to stand up on our own two feet and to be responsible, we are. Our own family. Nobody else is responsible for our family but us. You understand that, right? No one else is responsible for our family but us. Be responsible for our own family. Be responsible for our own neighborhood. No one is responsible for our neighborhood but us. We live in the neighborhood. We know our neighbors, friends, and family. We try to keep peace in the neighborhood. That's what you're doing. And keep peace. Talk to people. No. Leave the elder seat. No. Because we're responsible. We're responsible for our own neighborhood and for the areas that we live in. That obligation is on us as holy and sacred as an obligation is saying our friends are making pilgrimage or witnessing that there's no God but one God. We have the same obligation on us, and it's a sacred obligation as it is for our practices in our religion. رَبِّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا أَبَابِ النَّارِ. Our Lord, grant us the best that this life and this world has to offer us, and grant us the best that the next life and the next world has to offer us, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sins. O Allah, out of your mercy, please reduce and eliminate this gun violence in America and throughout this world. And O Allah, we beseech of you, please bring peace to the suffering Palestinian people. And name the promised law.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله Those of you all joining us on our various not being redundant, but I say it every week because we have new people every week, new viewers, new Muslims, or Muslims who are joining us for the first time. So if you're on the East Coast in the Central Time Zone, you can make the Salat with us. However, yes, you can also, if you're on the West Coast, pray with us. Just be aware, as I'm sure you are, that even though you prayed with us here because you joined us for Juma, when it's time for your Salat on the West Coast, you still have to pray the prayer time on the West Coast. Okay? All right. And when we finish out Salat, we will make the Salat of Janazah for our sisters. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إنما العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Mean to cover Allah. They'll accept our prayers. Now let us stand and make the Salat of Janaza, Ghaib. Ghaib means absent, funeral prayer, for my dear friend, instructor, Benjamin Bilal, daughter, Sister Najma Salima Bilal, 32 years young. May Allah forgive her and grant her paradise. Before we start, someone had asked me, so I told her I would be mindful of this, is that to tell you all what we're doing. Because, you know, we do it so regularly, those of us who know what we're doing, but there are people who don't know what we're doing. And so someone said that to me, and I told them I try to be mindful. This is called the funeral prayer for new Muslims that are new, don't know what we're doing. The first, we make four takbirs, glorification of God, make this quick. We make four takbirs. We say, Allahu Akbar, God is greater. And in the first takbir, we recite Al-Fatiha, in the first takbir. Then I'll say Allahu Akbar, takbir, glorify God, the second. Then we recite the prayer of Ibrahim. Now, if you don't know that, you don't know it. But it's the one we say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. That's in the second takbir. The third one, takbir, we say Allahu Akbar, God is greater. We mention, we make a dua, supplication for the deceased person. And we mentioned that name, Najma Salima Bilal. If you can't remember all that, Sister Bilal, Sister Najma. Pray whatever dua you want. The fourth takbir, you say Allahu Akbar. It continues, making a prayer, dua for her and then her family, and asking Allah to purify her and give her admittance into paradise. And then we make one, that's now make them to the right, only, not to the left, just to the right. Greetings. So Allah says in the Quran, you want to receive your record in the right hand. Yes, and we want to be Ashab al-Yamini, companions of the right hand. So that means greetings of peace, right, that she receive her record in the right hand. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. May Allah's peace and mercy be upon our sister, Najma Salima Bilal, and my dear friend, Instructor Bilal. You have our sincerest and deepest condolences for the loss of your daughter, you and your wife. And may Allah bless you, Sakinah, tranquility and solace and peace, my dear friend. And Allah grant her needed entry into the paradise. Tomorrow, dear brothers and sisters, 12 o'clock here at the Masjid, celebrating our Eid. 12 o'clock. So now, brothers, before you all leave, Ahmed, do you need him to help set up tables or whatever while we have all these brothers here? All right, he needs some help. So you brothers roll out the plastic, help Ahmed set the tables up. So when they come here tomorrow with the food, the festival, some movies. I think they're trying to get a fun house for the children here. This is in Jacksonville. Now, I know you all around the country having different needs. Those of you all on the way out the door, make sure you make your contributions and donations. There's a bucket back there and a box. Contributions. We have expenses here. Those of you all online, you go to our website, support our efforts here in Jacksonville, Florida. www.alislamworldwideministry.com. Donate online. Those of you all who donated, who sent your sabakal sister, your zakatul sister this year to Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, we are appreciative. May Allah bless all of you and reward you. I responded to every last one of you all that put your email address that I had. For God God bless you and thank you for supporting our worldwide ministry coming from Jacksonville, Florida. Those of you all who support us on a regular basis, just regular as a cat, because you attend Juma with us, Hail's a cat here, you get the same blessing as if you were at a physical facility somewhere. So we thank you all very much. May Allah continue to bless you. Eid Mubarak. Enjoy your Eid. Take the children out. Buy them toys. No children. You got adult children, husband and wife. Y'all go out, dinner, have a wonderful time. Enjoy this festive occasion. Eid al-Fitr. Enjoy it. So join us next week. We won't have any classes Sunday. We will be back next week online for Juma prayer, inshallah, at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sister Martha Naila, thank you for broadcasting us live on American Muslim 360. Those of y'all on YouTube, oh, by the way, on YouTube, thank you all for subscribing. We had 141 new subscribers this month. YouTube sent me the report. 11,000 views, 320,000 minutes, alhamdulillah. So if you haven't yet subscribed, Imam Yahya Abdullah on YouTube channel, please subscribe. Encourage others to subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. All right? Thank you for your support. God bless you. Be safe. Enjoy your Eid. And thank you for being with us at Islam Worldwide Ministry. Dear Muslims in Jacksonville, let us come out tomorrow as a festive occasion here for our Eid celebration. And we say Eid Mubarak to all of you all around the world. Blessed Eid. Join us for Juma next Friday, inshallah, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As-salamu alaykum.
And we definitely say thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, for Imam Yahya Abdullah and all of the imams, the honorable position that they're in, leading communities worldwide. Praise be to Almighty God. But surely there's a lot on our shoulders. I say our shoulders. I'm speaking as the truth that comes through the mouth of those who have given themselves to be a servant of Almighty God. Thank you, Imam Kareem Hamid, out of St. Louis, Missouri, the station manager for AM 360. Alhamdulillah, for making it possible for us to hear what the words that Almighty God blessed to come through to us. Being here, we know that for all of us, we could have been somewhere doing something else, but we are about sowing a cord. Peace. So as we heard, the responsibility at the very end, responsibility of us all is to be responsible, stand up on our own 2 feet. I'm saying that's for everyone. But the productivity and that which is at hand is more stressed upon the communities of African Americans, those who have been and through the enslavement process, and perhaps those who now are influenced by that. So we was before Almighty God and asking for God's guidance continuously. And now we're going to listen to a sharing from Imam Warthadeen Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him, grant him a house station in paradise. And, of course, again, recognizing that Imam Yahya shared with us about Imam Instructor Benjamin Bilal's daughter, Najma. And of course, yes, I pray we did make salat with the community, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive her errors and grant her a high station in paradise. And that is likewise for all families that I have no idea who have transitioned. And we must recognize, because of our connection, that of O.J. Simpson and to his family, may Allah grant them peace and ease in their heart and the love that they have for O.J. Simpson and for the country around the world, around the globe. Actually, you know much about O.J. something and his life. So praise be to Almighty God. May he too be forgiven and accepted into paradise. I mean. Any comments you'd like to share? 914-434. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad Sharif.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu everyone. Well, we heard what Imam Abdullah said a few minutes ago, how the world has been messed up. Education, business, culture, government by men. Now it's like he made that with emphasis on men. Have messed up the whole world. So that's why I'm coming for what Imam Muhammad said in 1999. He said, I am ready to follow a female leader. It is my pleasure to follow a female leader. So now we start thinking about a female leader. The men have messed up the world. Not going to be any change. Thank you for taking my comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And I'd like to stretch that a little bit too, Muhammad, and see if you concur. Because the attribute of female, and I know what you're saying as far as a person, the attribute truly is that of sharing from a womb of knowledge. And I'd like to share that the knowledge that we've gained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to gain from Imam Warthadeen Muhammad, that is not the body of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, has become that womb. And so that, in turn, and now, and I'm sure he didn't see it as that at that time, but that's the way I'm seeing it, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us to be understanding, and to be, and it's a blessing to be guided by that, because it's keeping us connected with the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, acknowledging wherever wisdom is, wherever we see it, prophetically information, proverbial information, all that has become, we truly see it as a womb. But truly, as we are sharing the lectures, the commentaries of Imam Warthadeen Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, that process, and Prophet Muhammad, all of the prophetic leadership, now becomes a womb. And that's where we all are, in that womb. So we're following the feminine script so that we all can be nurtured. And when we see the female and the male, then we turn and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that we respect the role for each one. And then we don't have to cause confusion one against the other. Praise be to Allah. Thank you so very, very much for your comments on that. And if you have something to share after that, I'm opening your mic. Muhammad.
If I would just say, I mean.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Give my sister the greetings, please.
Sure will. Well, they come out too long.
All right, dear listeners. We want to share with you, before we go to the lecture, a commentary of Imam Warthadeen Muhammad. Just know that CWSC, just in case you don't read it in the Muslim Journal, you don't hear us on Study Al-Islam, you don't hear us at Mosque Care, or with any other platform. But you will be hearing here on AM 360 and perhaps throughout the country in our neighborhoods as we're connecting with various leadership. When you hear of the question number one, what does being human mean to you? Know that it is stemming from the consultation that we've had over the last 3 years, faith and family, as an initiative. And to make that be a reality, reconstructing our lives, each one, teaching one, sharing in our communities, seeking out to be an asset in our communities. The initiatives you will see outlined, the cleanliness, And as the man was just sharing, first this morning when Mark Smith said, learn and earn. We're hearing, we're listening. And these are initiatives that we can take on and process it in our lives. So this is what CWSC will be doing, finding these initiatives, and however we express it in our communities, knowing one thing, that Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, Rahimullahu Lay, he stressed something that the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, stated, and I'll share that with you now. Says, we have to understand Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, when he was leading his people with others with him, like Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, he said to them, and I'm saying, may Allah be pleased with him, he said to them, see that you don't uproot or destroy the culture of the people, but give them Islam or al-Islam so that it will, Islam itself, al-Islam itself, will modify their culture and beautify the culture of the people and make it strong for God. End of that. So that shares with us that as people are serving Almighty God as a servant, none of us are to be inclined to think that we have to change a people. Once they get the understanding of serving Almighty God, then they refine their culture. And Almighty God knows it all. As I was listening earlier to Imam Talib Sharif, out of Masjid Muhammad in Washington, D.C. And he spoke on the jugular vein, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nearer, closer to us, jugular vein, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, is the source of all of our help. Now to our commentary for today. From Imam Warsuddin Muhammad. And being that we have much on our board, we're going to go to, and this is leadership. Well, it was leadership. Let's see. Give me a moment, let me see. Yes. A Rise to Leadership. Now, these may be short captions of it, part 1, 2, and 3. Rise to Leadership. So I'll share what we have. Part 3. Let's begin, inshallah.
God says if their community was like a community of angels, I would have sent you.
Okay, that was in the middle. Let's try this
yes.
one.
Yes.
No, no. Okay, let's go to this.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have the very beginning. So let's go to what shows us part 2. All right. All right. We'll grow with this together, inshallah.
Yes. I want to point now to our need to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel good about ourselves, not only as individuals. The student who's trying to get a good grade from the teacher feels so wonderful when they get that good grade, that B plus, that C plus, that A, whatever, you know. For me, it was C+. That's what made me feel real good, especially in English. yeah, so we feel good about ourselves. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to be free, and we want to feel good about ourselves. I think if we stop attacking the persons for their racism and start trying to understand why, why is this? Why a white man wants to tell the world that I'm white, I'm not black, and I don't want to be black. I'm white and I want to stay white. It's for the same reason that some blacks will say the same thing if you ask them. We are black, we don't want to change, we want to stay black. Now, my understanding has improved greatly as a student of society and nature, has improved greatly. So now, and my religion really have helped me to accept this, I wouldn't be too upset. I wouldn't be too upset if I would hear that my daughter is going to marry a white man. I wouldn't. I would just be a little worried. And in fact, one of our relatives, a little distant, more distant than a daughter, did marry a white man. I met him. I finally met him. I like him. I guess I felt just like many of you all in that small minority who had black men marry your daughters. I guess I feel about the same way, or marry your niece or something. I feel about the same way. I wasn't comfortable at all, and I was hoping that I could meet him and like him. So when I met him, we started a conversation. We talked together, and I poured out something that would disturb him and to see how he would act. See. But he handled it very nicely, and he poured something out on me that disturbed me, and I handled it very nicely for him. We end up wanting to even hug each other before we left. Yeah, really, really. We had understanding. So I don't have any problem with it. I'm happy. I'm happy to be married. I'm glad she didn't marry a black man on welfare. I am. I really am. But there's something more important than that, you know. God has put us here to serve him. So there's something more important than mixing or worrying about race, intermarriage and all that. There's something more important there, and that is service to God. If we put service to God above service to anything else, myself, even my family, I have to put service to God above my own family. Because when this world, when this secular world, loses a sense of moral direction or gives up on moral life, I don't say it loses a sense of moral direction, but when it gives up on moral life, when it doesn't trust that the public can be morally contained anymore, we have to have something to support us, to keep us going, to keep us with moral interests and moral sensitivities. That's our religion. We have to rely upon what God has revealed. Because the secular world will not always give us the best guidance for moral life. Service to God. Service to God is the best service. And where are we to give that service? In community. Where are we to find the best conditions for our life so that we can live together in one family and yet take pride in our distinctions? A true father, a true mother, they don't want to see all their children just one little picture, one copy of them or something else. They like to see diversity in their family. They like that this child is interested in art. This child is interested in football. Another one is interested in math. They love that. They don't want to see all of them just clones of the same person. No, they don't want that. That doesn't make them happy. So we won't be happy if we have all the different nationalities and races or ethnic groups in a melting pot, and we turn it out the same thing, making all the same thing. I think unity supports diversity. I think unity supports diversity. And the more unity is in our awareness, the more we can appreciate diversity. The unity should be upon that surah, that picture of us, that God says he made human and most excellent. Human and most excellent. That's where our unity should be. If we unite upon that, that's the more important foundation for us. We are firstly human. We are lastly human. Firstly human and lastly human. After we have had all our troubles with each other, we're going to find peace by being human beings toward each other, by being humanly toward each other. Or humanitarian toward each other, with each other. This is the way God intends for us to be. So in concluding this, I want to say Muslims concentrate, focus on community life. That's where God wants us to concentrate our efforts, our attention, on community life. And we all should focus our attention on community life, because this world has become one global village now. And we are all in the same world together. The television, the powerful media captures all of us. I don't care how far we are away on the other side of the planet, hidden in the backwoods, in the bush, or in the great Amazon river or something, floating down there amongst the trees and covered so nicely no one can see you, not even the birds. That camera will go in there and find you and show you to us on television. You see? So we are in one room now, and we have to force ourselves to accept that we are in one room, and if we want to have peace for each other, we have to respect what each other want in this one room. Me, I want Islam in this one room. I want to be a Muslim, and I want Islam in this one room. I love America. I'm proud of my citizenship. I value it. I will die for it. And this is no joke. But my best citizenship is not my American or U.S. citizenship. My best citizenship is my Muslim citizenship. Because God has given us a society, a religious society, that's more valuable to us than any political order can ever be. And that's what makes our political order strong. When each of us in our great faiths put strong emphasis on faith above politics and above even government, then we make the best contribution to our government or to our nation. As strong people of faith, obeying our disciplines in our faiths, we make America strong and keep it strong. But if we lose that, the secular world will make all of us weak, and it will eventually make our country weak. So my message to you today is, we are your neighbors, my brother Christians and sister Christians. We are your neighbors. We are proud to be your neighbors. We share with you an appreciation for the growth and excellence of this great nation we call America. We study its growth and excellence, how it has grown in excellence. We are so proud of it. And we are proud of this country for awakening our sensitivities so that we will have, feel a moral obligation, pardon me, not have, but so we'll feel a moral obligation to do right by each other, that the Christian will look at himself again, who've been thinking his black brother is inferior or his black human fellow man is inferior, will look at himself and question himself in the light of what Jesus presented, peace be upon Jesus Christ, and try to conform to the life and to the love, or whatever, that Jesus so beautifully radiated to the people who follow him and put down these selfish and crazy biases and follow your religion. This is what we want to do. If you do that and we do that, follow the excellence of Muhammad in our faith, and you follow the excellence of Christ Jesus in your faith, really, we follow Christ Jesus too. Muslims believe in all the prophets. So whatever excellence in Jesus, we respect it, not only respect it, we study it, and we get benefit from it. We benefit from all the prophets. But our model prophet, the last prophet to us, he models the excellence that those prophets were sent here to model to the world. So we focus on him. But let us be true to ourselves. If we say we're Christians, let's try to be good Christians. Let's try to really represent what we are saying. And if we say we're Muslim, let us not take the definition of Muslim from Minister Farrakhan. Because something in your human nature, in your human sensitivities, doesn't agree with all that Farrakhan says. So since you can't agree in your soul, your human soul, with all that Farrakhan represents, then don't turn to him for understanding of what is Muslim or what is Islam. Let us take it from our holy book, and let us take it from the prophets and messengers of God that God chose for us as models. And lastly, let us keep the destiny before us. God wants us to seek paradise. Seek paradise. But not only on this earth, to seek not only after this earth and after this life, but also on this earth in this life. He wants us to seek paradise. Paradise is something that God wants us to seek from the time we come into this world. Forever we should be seeking paradise. If we seek paradise all our life, for the whole road of our existence on this earth, if we seek paradise, then we will automatically improve our ourselves and our environment. Anyone who makes paradise a conscious effort to have paradise, they won't live in funk and trash and garbage. You look at some, go in some homes of people who went to school, they got their high school diploma, some of them even got the BS degree, and you go into the home and you say, hey, this looks like it should have wheels on it. It should be picking up my trash on Wednesday morning. So we won't have that if we follow our religions and try to be the best you can be. And the army wasn't the first to tell us that. God says, be the best you can be. And God even tells us to be selective when reading the Quran. Because if you're not careful, you'll be so negative, you'll select only those things that support your negativity. And you, that's why God says, and before you read the Quran, ask God to give you protection from the rejected Satan, the devil. Because you're subject to be hurt, and you're looking for justification for your hurt. So you Palestine is hurting, and we're hurting too, you know, for Palestine. But the victim, the one who's uptight there, he'll be reading the Quran and says, and you will find the Jews to be some of the most greediest people for the things of this life. And that's where he'll stop. He'll stop right there. And he thinks he's justified to go out there and just do anything against the Jews. But if he stay healthy-minded, he'll read further where God says, and you'll find among the Jews a party of them committed to justice and fair dealings among men. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Peace.
For the imam, please approach one of the two microphones and we'll alternate back and forth between them.
I hope I can hear the questions out. We got a mic. That's very good.
It's working? Okay. This goes back to just a couple points you made that I sort of would say go together. The idea of selectively taking information, be it the Quran or anything else.
Yes.
And making a point out of it. And this goes back to what you were saying about science. I would argue that science in and of itself, as you said, is a beautiful tool that people could use to sort
yes.
of understand race relations.
Yes.
But I'd say one of the big problems is that traditionally, I would say right up to the present, science is not based on objective criterion but subjective ones. If you look at, for example, anthropology in the 19th century, it was not really based on facts as much as going around collecting certain information, justifying, in a nutshell, white man is superior and that's why he rules the earth.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask this is in the modern context, what worries me is when I hear things, not to just pick on one study, but the bell curve study as an example. I would argue that that's sort of selectively taking information to simply justify already held notions of race, of blacks, and I'm just curious, how do you recommend dealing with not science, but I would call it pseudoscience?
Yes. Yes. Well, everything is growing. Everything is progressing. Everything is growing to become better and better, more perfect, more exact. Even science itself is a learning process. It's a growing, it's a learning process. Experiments, mistakes, then we discover something to correct the mistake. And if it falls in the hands of the wrong people, we get their prejudice views conclusions that they made, you know. And I'm glad you connected it with what I said about the Quran, because if you go to the Quran with the right wrong state of mind, you may come out real bad, very bad fella. Yes, so I hope I didn't give the impression, which I probably did, that we can rely solely on science.
No.
We can't. We can't rely solely on science. But with the purity of our faith, the purity of our religion, and the help we get from science, we can answer questions of race and solve problems.
Yeah, I just mean, how do you think the black community, and more specifically the Muslim community, can respond to these sort of, I don't know if I want to call them allegations, but the results of coming with the wrong mindset? How do you think this can be redressed?
Well, we have an academic, we're developing an academic, I would say, group in our community who will help our leadership. And I believe that they should respect the sciences and also respect God's wish for us, God's desire for us. And if they do that, perhaps we will have a growing process too, as everybody else, you know. But right now, we rely upon what our scriptures say to solve these problems. We rely firstly and lastly upon our scripture. But we can get a lot of help. Again, I must say, a lot of help is in science, if we will look at what science says about these things. And there will be, there is a danger that you may pick up a scientific conclusion from someone who was not aware that they themselves were subjective and not scientific or objective. And they will give us their biased views, and we will be quoting them, think we are quoting what is scientifically true, and it will be scientifically false or pseudoscience. So I think we have to keep our community aware of that. And we who study to better present truth to our people, we should certainly be aware of that. Thank you very much.
Oh, I mean, I don't have a question, Imam Muhammad. I have more of a response to that, being that I am black, I am Muslim, and I am a scholar of science.
And you? I didn't get the last.
And a scholar of science. I'm majoring in science.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and
very
I,
good.
I kind of agree with you, sir, just one simple fact that it's not the usage of science that's bad. It's not science that's bad. It's just usage.
Yes.
You know, so, and like he said, like the gentleman said, that the bell curve pointed out negativity. Well, you have to look towards science to negate that. If you just sit there and say, that is wrong, but you don't bring to the table an opinion that brought it, I mean, if you don't fight that opinion with the same kind of weapon, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they use science to justify that. So if you're going to negate that, you have to come back with science. So in that same sense, the usage of science is not bad. You kind of see what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
So that's,
and I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's
Thank
just
you.
My response to that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I kind of had that conversation in the wee hours last night, so I kind of felt that maybe my purpose was to state that right now as a scholar of science.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Imam Muhammad, many Americans and Christians feel fearful of the Islam faith because there is so much in the mass media dealing with violence, not only in the Middle East, even on our own shores. How do you address the fears of many Americans who tend to associate Islam with violence, mujahideens, and so forth? We know that that is not all of the members of Islam, but how do you address those fears in Americans and others around the world?
Regretfully, the Muslim nations of the world have reacted to problems with the West, or the circumstances, unfavorable circumstances for them that are caused by the West, colonialism, colonial domination, and et cetera, and have not had a situation for themselves to just sit and quietly, soberly study the West and what has happened and come up with a direction or with an attitude or disposition for themselves, a way of dealing with the West in a rational way, in an understanding way. That's starting to happen now. We have think tanks in America, Islamic think tanks of Muslims who have come to this country from abroad. And they have think tanks, and they're working on all these problems. So eventually we're going to have solutions, and the whole world is going to be better because intelligent people who devote themselves to the study of human problems in the world, they're going to come up with answers because they're well-meaning people. They're going to come up with the right answers. What I think that is very important for us to understand is that what we see of Muslims in the media is trouble most of the time. People who have been scarred deeply by situations that they can't change and that are unfair to them, and they see America as a power protecting Israel and supporting Israel with great sums of money. So all of this reaches them, and they respond emotionally to it. We need to understand them. We need to understand their situation. We need to sympathize with them too. They are not bad people. Many of them who have been driven to be terrorists, they weren't bad people. They're bad people now, but they weren't bad people. And if they could get the chance, perhaps they will come back to being good people. We don't know if they would get some understanding from us, perhaps, and from Israel. Perhaps they will come back to being good people. Muslims are not terrorists. We don't love violence. In fact, we don't even like to be angry. The Prophet Muhammad, someone asked him, say, tell me something that can benefit me from the rest of my life since you're a prophet. He said, peace be upon him. He said, avoid anger. Avoid giving yourself to anger, giving in to anger. That was his advice. And we who study the religion from him, from the word of God and from him, we want to be like him. So we hate to give in to anger. The Muslim is a person of peace. Muslim means a person of peace. Islam means the religion of peace. And our greeting is peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. How can the people who have so much peace in their greetings, in the name of their religion and everything, in their culture, be people of violence? That's a terrible, unacceptable contradiction. We are promoters of peace. And Muslims were led by Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, to bring change in the world and to civilize the world, or conquer the beast in our life or in our society with education, not with the sword. That's the way it was meant to be. But if people fight over land or power, then you're going to have a new character. It's going to warp their character, change their character. And that's what has happened. And this was all predicted that would be. Prophet Muhammad said that wealth would come, and his community would be lost. And he said it would return to the ones that it came to in the beginning. And what does it mean? Those who loved God's way, loved humanity, serving God for the betterment of humanity more than they loved materialism or more than they loved wealth. They spent their wealth very generously to advance the message of Al-Islam. And that's what I see coming now. We are in a time of the world when the world is becoming more humanly sensitive, and the human sensitivities have more welcome in the world today. Good, innocent human sensitivities have a much greater welcome in the world today all over, except for a couple of places. I won't name them. yes, so we are coming to a time when we can, again, practice the best of our humanity, live it and practice it, and feel good and not have it dominated or destroyed by any powers. When Muslims are angry on television, it's not because of a religious matter directly, it's because of a political matter directly or economic matter directly, not religion. So we tend to think these terrorists are religious, are responding to their religion. Some writers give fundamentalism as a reason for their behavior. Fundamentalism is not the reason for their behavior. Fundamental in our religion is the same as fundamental in your religion is. What is fundamental means you stick with what is more important. You stay with the basis. You stay with what is basic. You stick with what is more important in your religion. You stay with what is essentially your life. And that is good. That's not bad. But if, again, if the mind of the individual is drunk, then he will go to his religion and he will pick up the wrong thing. He will misperceive what's there and he will misuse it. Well, this is what we have when people are driven crazy out of their mind because they don't have their home anymore. Their home is taken, and here come the same people who took their home last year coming back to get another one of their homes. Yes, I sympathize with the Palestinians on the West Bank. Here they come for another home. So this drives them mad. Science tells us if you drive any creature to the extreme, that creature comes out of his normal form. And you can make a monster out of a normal creature. Well, we know that as Americans who study science. We know that. So why can't we look at the situation and have sympathy for those people who've been scarred very deeply and who've been driven out of their minds? So they're not presenting their religion to us. They're presenting their rage to us. And the West is responsible for most of that rage.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I wanted to ask you to do me a favor, pretty please, and tell me one of your favorite hadiths and please explain it for me. I'm really interested in knowing hadith that's a favorite of yours. I'm interested in knowing. I'm just very curious.
About slavery?
About anything.
I didn't get
anything. Just a hadith that's important to you every day or one of your favorites. So just anything.
My favorite hadith?
Yes, please.
I guess gave it to you. Don't give in to anger.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
As you know, our Muslim community in America is the most ethnically diverse community, Muslim community in the whole world.
Yes, it is.
And even though it's an asset to us, it's a cause of a lot of prejudice and strife and segregation among us. I'd like to know what you think we can do, Imam Muhammad, to try to foster better relations among us and to make ourselves a more tightly knit and closer Muslim community with fewer racial biases among our very different ethnic groups.
We have to have leadership. And I mean leadership in the broadest sense now. We have to have leadership in the broadest sense. And our imams and teachers of religion, they have to see Islam in its full picture, in its full scope, and know that piety without practical works for the betterment of life in community or life in society is not given any credit in Islam. Some people came to the Prophet Muhammad and they said that we have a special, very special person to present to you, to the Messenger of God. They said that, peace be upon him. And when they presented him as a person that fasts, he did all the fasting, he prayed all the prayers, he did everything. Prophet Muhammad said, well, who provides home and food for him? They say, we do. He said, then you are better than he is. So the pious leaders in our religion, they should realize that that's a very precious feature of the Muslim, piety, but they are to support all good works, all good services, and I think if the religious leaders would address the Jummah and the community, whenever we have time to address it, we'll address them on these practical needs in our life that you are mentioning right now. And don't be afraid to talk about race. They'll talk about race, but they'll simply just quote one line from the Quran and they think that's enough. All is done, that's enough. But the Prophet did more than that. The Prophet didn't just say, the only superiority is obedience to God. It's not in your color. It's not in your nationality. The only superiority is obedience to God. The prophet did more than that. He said there is no superiority. He went directly to it. He expressed it very clearly. He said there is no superiority of a white over a black, and there is no superiority of a black over a white. That's plain language. That's plain language. And we should extend that further. The prophet gave us the issue. He presented the issue to us. Now, imams should be encouraging Muslim students to study the problem of man in society, especially in the problem for one race, a minority group, and a majority group, to study the problems and to come from Islamic sources with the best solutions. We have to look at the whole community and study the needs of the whole community and hope that we will one day fulfill God's request to us. He says, let there rise out of you a community calling to all that is good and protesting all that is bad and not fearing the criticism of any who criticizes and believing in God and having faith in God. So these are descriptions that God has given us. He wants an excellent model group to come out of us. We need to work on that. We need to, all of the leaders, the imams, we need to work on bringing about, influencing the development of a model leadership that represents not just prayers, worship on Friday, but represents the whole community interest, the whole interest of man in community. That's what we need. So it's not going to happen by you. I'm sure that you're making a contribution. You believe what you believe, and I'm sure your own life is making a contribution to bettering things for us. But I do too. I do my. But we can't. We need a collective effort. We need a model group working as a leadership group to solve problems for us in the community. And that's what the shura should be about. But the shura is about how much is a cat can we get? And is 2% enough in this time, or should it be increased to 200%?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Allahu Akbar.
The following lecture, titled Islam, Prophecy, and the Present World, was recorded Sunday, February the 1st, 1998, at Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio. The lecturer is Imam W. D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. We witness that God is one. We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We praise God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that He is one. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. That He is one and there is nothing like unto Him. Laysa kamithlihi shay. For God says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, and translated, there is nothing at all existing that is like Him, that is like God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, the last revelation from God, the last book from God, the Quran.
So he translated the king of mankind, but it could be the master of mankind also. But the king of mankind is a very good translation. The king of mankind. Then the God of mankind. Isn't this wonderful how it progresses? First, the Lord of mankind. See, we first evolved, huh? We evolved. Then, when we evolved, we established science, knowledge, evolved civilization, has government, or governmental order, and it has a president or some figure that represents the king, the master, the president, the highest, right? Okay, well, once you evolve, don't take on...
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Dear listeners, I do apologize. I was wondering why I wasn't hearing anything, and it was because my phone was on hold. So I do apologize as I was chatting through all of the presentations here.
We praise God, the one and only for us and all people. We witness is God and do worship. That is, worship is owing only to him. And we witness that Muhammad, the last prophet, the messenger of Allah, the mercy to all the world, is a mortal human being, a messenger of God, and not a divine person, or not a God himself, but a mortal human being that God gave us as a model of our human excellence. We witness that he is the messenger of God, and we pray the prayers and the peace be on him. Amen. To this lovely and beautiful historical city of Charleston, South Carolina. And we are so pleased with it. So we're already making plans to come back with family members just for a week or two of relaxation and discovery. I have seen so many of your faces already that I know very well, especially the Imam. And we want to say to you that we certainly appreciate the strong support that you give the Muslim community of America and our propagation efforts. We have a topic that we are very, very much interested in, not only for the Charleston Muslim community, but also for the Charleston African-American community and for the African-American community all over these United States. A few years ago, it came to me that our people have wanted a day in the calendar year to celebrate our life. We say our heritage, our ethnicity, but I like to say our life. As a people, the excellence of that life originating for us as a racial group on the mother continent he called Africa, and extending now into America and well established and growing in America, and we have to include the Caribbean and some other places. So we hope that one day we will be a part, not the leaders, but a part of an effort to celebrate the excellence of the African family tree, the excellence of our traditional life, at least a one-day celebration. It was thought that we are interested in doing this as Muslims, and that was an error for which I am partly responsible myself, I guess, because when we put things together, it's automatically expected that we are going to lay claim to it as being all ours. This desire is not all ours, and many other things that we'll be talking about today are not all ours. I'd like to greet the African American audience always as an honorable audience. And if there are any non-blacks or non-African Americans in the audience, we definitely are greeting you too when we say honorable audience. And I like the term honorable audience because we have been people who have been dishonored, people who have been discredited, dishonored, people who have been really denied our inherent dignity during the ugly years on this continent and in the southern parts, especially in the southern parts of these United States, those years of slavery and after. In fact, it is only recently in the history of our people in America that we have started to believe that America is equally for us. We didn't believe that years ago. We thought that America was for white folks, and we thought that America would never accept us as equal citizens. But thank God for good American people of all colors, and especially for the efforts of civil rights leaders and Garveyites and Honorable Elijah Muhammad's people, for the efforts of all those who protested that very strongly. We are grateful to them who made sacrifices too of life, money, and everything to bring about a better day for us in America. We're grateful to all of them for this change that we appreciate so much. But we have to realize that this has not been the case only in recent years, only for our present young generation is this thing new, and the past is non-existent. It's non-existent. But for us, the past does exist, and we believe, like many African American leaders, who are not all Muslims, we believe that if we forget that past, or separate completely from that past, and not pass on to our children, this new generation of ours, the knowledge of what happened from Africa to America, we will be making a terrible mistake. I would like to mention also that I find it very pleasing to read in the profile that I was given by the imam that was sent to me, mailed to me, and also with the cooperation of my public relations people, especially Brother Marzouk Al-Jami, based in Dallas, Texas. That information to me was very helpful, and I was very pleased to read that most of the blacks, most of us here are homeowners. And this is unique for us in the United States. We don't find that in, I don't know of any other place in the United States where that will be so. And also, I'm also very pleased to know that the African-American people are the black people who came from Africa, brought from Africa, we should say, as slaves, more correctly, we were brought from Africa in ships to be sold as slaves here and were sold in the markets here as slaves to the whites who needed slave labor. That it's great, I think, for us to know that you were used in industry. In many parts, most of the parts of the South, you were used just as farm labor and domestic servants. But here, I think you are very special for that, although I know a few other places, our people were used in industry. They were used to build construction, build construction. They were used as carpenters, and bricklayers, and iron workers. And they tell me much of the work that we look at when we go through the city of beautiful Charleston, we're looking at the work of African-American people. And it's gratifying, very pleasing also to know that of the 31% of the population that you represent also 30% of the workforce in beautiful Charleston. This is not to say that you are happy here. I know better. You didn't tell me that. I had to read about those things. I hope that you have patience with me. I don't intend to give a long talk, a brief talk. But have patience with me as I take my time and deliver this brief address. We Muslims believe that our first father, and I put first father in quotations and you will understand why, was created for obedience to God. God who made everything, all humans, all men, all women, in conjunction with that, we believe that as Muslims, we believe our first father was created to think production, to think establishment, to think progress, and to think security. We praise God, and we say Alhamdulillah. We praise God for revelation, for revealing to the prophets his plan, his purpose, and his direction for all human beings. And we accept that the Father for us, African Americans or black, is the Father for all people. Education for us is sacred. Education begins in the created body of knowledge. By the meaning here for body of knowledge is the world as God created it. We believe that the sun, moon, and stars and everything outside in space, including the earth and all that's within the earth,